Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about overcoming fear. So I'd ask you to please feel free to participate if you choose to, or else just to listen. So with that said, let me introduce my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. I'm kind of amazed because I only had 4 hours of sleep last night.
Oh, yeah, well, you must be feeling a little bit healthy.
I think
because you keep moving.
Yeah, I think that I am.
Yeah.
And tonight I imagine I'll sleep a little bit more.
Nice.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting as I think about the answer to your question. I think the reason that I'm doing so well in spite of lack of sleep is because I'm learning to eliminate fear from my life. And, of course, we do know that some fear is healthy. We need it to survive.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to thriving, fear doesn't really serve us very well, does it?
No, it doesn't. But it comes in waves sometimes because when you're on the right path, have you ever had that feeling of being both excited and a little afraid all at once?
How would that differ from anxiety?
Well, anxiety is a doom sort of feeling,
mm-hmm.
and it comes with melancholia. Well, I'm going to just describe my own feeling of anxiety because I don't like to speak for others, but it comes with melancholia and like a feeling of darkness coming over your mind. And it can give you physical responses of difficulty breathing. And, if you can get yourself into a good enough tears, you can end up having a panic attack, which I've had a couple of them, and they're not nice. They're really bad. And this, you know, it's interesting because when you know that you're on the right path, that path is exciting and a little bit scary all at once, and it can elicit similar feelings and responses within you. As I was talking, I started to realize that just then. So that was a really good question. Because you do have this shortness of breath. It can, when you think about it, you can get that sort of feeling. But there's a brightness in your mind. That's the difference. Because you're excited. When you're anxious, you're afraid. When you're in, and I don't know the right word for that feeling. What's the word? You're the social worker?
When you're anxious, you're afraid. I'm not
sure. But when you're excited and a little bit afraid, when you know you're on the right path in your life, what's that?
I don't know.
The English expression for that.
I'm going to have to put that in the hopper and see if it cogitates. It's not coming to me at present.
We have a word for the opposite in the negative, but we don't have it in the positive.
No, well, we could Google that, but I'm not going to take time to do that. That's an interesting question, and there's got to be a good word for it, but it's not coming to me. Okay, so what else were you going to say, honey?
Oh, I don't know. I'm distracted. when you know you're on the right path, I suppose you could mistaken it for anxiety, but you're too excited. There's a motivation and a drive, isn't there? And there's a brightness within your mind.
Yeah.
And there's all these goodies that make you project your mind to the future more, whereas when you're anxious, you're kind of maybe in the past a bit or in the present fear about the future being something that is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
But when you're excited about it, you're not. You're like, this is going to be great. It's going to open up so many avenues in my life. I'm going to have so much fun.
Yep.
I'm up for the challenges. And that fear is maybe more like, oh, my goodness, can you imagine Oprah Winfrey when she found out she was going to get that show? I remember seeing her saying she had to stop and think because she knew she was going to be famous now.
Right.
And, you know, that's exciting and frightening at the same time because fame, well, you know, it's got its perks, but it's got its downsides too. Like, you can't go to the corner store and get some milk now. Everybody knows you. They're all going to swamp you. Your anonymity is gone. So for her, that would have been exciting and frightening all at once and fair enough.
Yes.
But that was her path, and, you know, she embraced it.
I'd like to read something. It's something that I read when I Googled why overcoming fear is important. It says, overcoming fears means that great otherwise this dovetails with what you just said. Overcoming fears means that great otherwise unforeseen opportunities might come our way, such as a new job, a new relationship, or a new experience. Overcoming fears forces us to learn, and embracing risk-taking also helps you to overcome a fear of failure. You talked about failure, or Eleanor was talking about fear of failure, weren't you, Eleanor? Wait a minute. Let me go to the phone line. There, Eleanor. Was that the topic that you...
Yes, I was talking about fear of failure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's been
right.
So long since I've taken any risk.
Well, you
I
want to speak about... Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead and say what you were going to say, honey.
Oh, it's been so long since I've taken any risk. I played Scrooge's housekeeper, and I played an angel. And about 5 years ago or more, I memorized a poem for my people, and I was able to do it. But I don't know if I could do that now because I haven't tried. There's an old saying, and it says, nothing beat a fail but a try.
Mm.
And I don't know. I'm not trying. And the longer
The longer you what, honey?
The longer I don't try, the slower I become. My goal is to walk without a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And in close situations, walk without a cane.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm reading between the lines is that you need to focus more on the trying or perhaps the doing to get to that point where you achieve your objectives and get past any fear of success or I mean, the opposite of that is the fear of failure. They go hand in hand. Am I deducing that what you're saying correctly?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, is there anything else you want to say at this moment, or do you want to wait till later in the show to speak? It's up to you.
I'll wait until later in the show.
Okay, well, thank you for chiming in. I appreciate that. And I'm going to return to Kat. So, Kat, I've lost the thread. What exactly were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about overcoming fear, and I've just been looking up some quotes, and one of my favorite all-time personal and professional development teachers, Dale Carnegie, has written here, inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage.
Ooh.
If you want to conquer fear, do not sit at home and think about it. Go out and get busy.
Well, I like that.
I like that too.
I love Dale Carnegie.
Yes.
There's an acronym for fear that Eleanor might be interested in, and that is Face Everything and Recover. And I think that speaks to what you're talking about, Eleanor, at a physical level, is you want to recover your function. So if you can turn fear around and use the acronym Face Everything and Recover and focus on facing and recovering, and you need that action step that Kat was talking about in between, then if you do that, I believe you'll achieve your objective. And faith plays a big role in that too, I believe. And I think that you would embrace that, Eleanor. And I don't have your microphone live, but let me bring you on the line for just a moment. What do you think about what I just said, Eleanor?
It's really on course. Fear. Is a way of shutting down and not trusting yourself. And go ahead.
No, you go.
What was the acronym?
Face Everything and Recover.
Face Everything and Recover.
Yep.
That means I have to face mental illness. I already recovered, but
are you still there, Eleanor?
Yes. I have to recover mental illness. I'm afraid of it. That's why I was silent.
Okay. Well, the way I look at it is you have recovered from that because you faced your demons and you did what you needed to do to find healing there. And it sounds like that's the same point you're at now with regard to your physical condition. Am I correct or have I misspoken?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get your feedback on that. Once again, I will come to you at the end of the show, and we'll carry on, if that's all right with you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Eleanor. Well, Kat, what are some of the things that we can do? And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I trust you'll have the answers one way or the other. What are some of the things that we can do to fight our fears?
Okay, well, I think one of the best things that you can do, and I often talk to my clients about this, is to take a very matter-of-fact approach to your fears. So otherwise, you know, it captures you emotionally and it can those emotions then control your body. And we don't want that. We want you to be in control of your body, not your emotions. So if you have a fear, for example, I have a fear of going swimming in the ocean, which I don't have a fear of, but I'm just using it as an example. What I would encourage is that you unpack that fear, that you take away the emotional aspect of it and put it aside for a moment. So, you know, we're all grown-ups. We can do that. You're sitting in the comfort of your own home. You can just imagine that you are a third person analyzing that fear rather than yourself getting in the water. So in that way, you can write down my the fear, I wouldn't say my fear, I'd say the fear of swimming in the ocean. What is the fear? Write that down. Why happen if my fear comes true? Write that down. Why, how possible is it for the fear to come true? What measures have been in place by authorities to stop me from A, getting eaten by a shark, B, getting eaten by a terrible jellyfish, C, getting eaten by sea lice, B, being crashed over by a wave? How can I mitigate that response? Can I choose a calm beach rather than a choppy one? And you unpack the whole thing. And then you start to look at the pros and cons list that you've created as to whether or not this fear has any validity in your life. And most of the time, there are some things to consider and prepare for so that you can mitigate that risk. But there are other things that just have no place there because they're just not founded in any kind of truth. Because a fear is not necessarily wrapped up in truth. It's a jumping doubt that bounces around in your head like a bouncing ball. Once you hold it and then you start to peel it open, you realize it's just full of hot air, like a stinky bit of gas. Does that all make sense?
Yes, it does.
It feels like a little brain fart.
Yeah, well, it creates quite an image, and I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole, but I will say this, you've given me some more reasons to not want to swim in the ocean.
Well, you're in the far north of Queensland.
Yeah, well,
we've got crocodiles, we've got very long tentacles, and if it gets here, can kill you. There's a few other ones.
Listen to my nervous laughter. I
want to come swimming.
I love to swim in the ocean until we started having a problem with great white sharks up in the area where I visit and go to the ocean. As a kid, I was stung by a Portuguese man-o-war, and I got really, really sick. But that didn't stop me from going back in. Sharks, and I'm sure the chances of getting attacked by a shark are minuscule, but that's created a fear within me. And, you know, that ties in with where fear comes from. It comes from the part of the brain called the, I'm going to spell it, amygdala. Do you know how to say that, Kat?
Amygdala,
okay. So a threat stimulus such as the sight of a predator triggers a fear response in the amygdala, and that activates areas involved in preparation for motor functions involved in fight or flight. And that certainly would come into my reality if a shark started swimming toward me. But, you know, that's something that we've had to deal with at a physical level for a long time. And that's where fear is a natural human emotion. And yet it can cause a lot of problems. It can affect our physical and mental health. It can cause cardiovascular disease, problems with the immune system, depression, anxiety, chronic illness, cancer, perhaps. I personally believe that all disease manifests from disease within ourselves, which comes from fear. I don't know what you think about that, Kat.
Well, I learn a lot from Dr. Joe Dispenza and his scientific work around changing the brain, and absolutely fear can be a cause of that kind of product of, you know, that kind of experience, but usually trauma in general can cause that, as well as other sort of negative emotional experiences. But chronic states, now if you're in a chronic state of fear, you know, sitting there, I've been became extremely overwhelmed with my life back in, 2005, I think, around the time I was 29, 30. Everything became extremely overwhelming for me. And I had three phone calls to make, and I was becoming agoraphobic, and I was becoming very uncomfortable with answering the phone. And I had good reason for it. I had good reason for it at the time, which I won't go into, but I was having some ongoing problems that went on for a very long time and involved communicating with other people who were quite difficult to deal with. So, yeah, then me having to make these three phone calls, which were going to improve my life, I had this big block. I just couldn't touch that phone. Because that phone equals pain. That was, I think, the way that I saw it. And so pain is something to fear, and I didn't want to have to go near the phone. And I have to say that dealing with the phone has been something I've had to work on for a very long time because it's just something I really don't like. And also I think that time in my life something that made me even more introverted, and that's not necessarily a good thing either. But moving away from people, because people at that time equaled pain, that's what I did. So I rang a friend and I said, I've got to make these three phone calls. I can't do it. And he said that I needed to imagine the people on the other end really liked me. And they'd be missing me, and they were my old friends. And that when they speak to me, they're going to really love to hear from me. And I just had to keep imagining that. I took his advice, and I did it. And I made the phone calls, and I had improvements in my life. One of them was to take my car back to a mechanic. And I forget the other two phone calls, but I did that, and it worked. I can't say that it cured my issue because I still have the ongoing issue, but it absolutely worked. And I'd just like to say, because I've said this in public, that this happened, it had nothing to do with money, if anyone's wondering. I was getting run up and dogged at from people just to avoid gossip. I wasn't. It had nothing to do with money. But, that it was one way. If only I'd kept it up, I probably would have cured myself from being afraid of the phone for a long time. No. It's worth doing, looking at some strategies, don't you think?
Yes, I do. Excuse me. I was thinking about the statement I made about fear causing disease. I was coming at it from the aspect, and you talked about other dark things that could lead to various distresses and ailments. I was thinking back to something that I've talked about on the show before, and that is one of my favorite spiritual authors, Anthony DeMello, who talked about there being two states, fear and love, kind of like light and darkness, if you will. And every emotion that has a negative connotation, as I understand from what he was saying, stems from fear, whereas every positive emotion stems from love. Well, that may be a stretch, but if that's indeed the case, I do believe it is darkness, however it may manifest, that affects us at all levels, mind, body, spirit, and heart. And I was thinking back to some of my own problems with fear as you were talking, Kat. Thank you for sharing that. I can remember a time when I was afraid to answer the phone, and it was at work. And I was depressed at the time. And depression, as I said already, can come from fear. And it begets more of the same, as far as I'm concerned, based on my own experience. I went into work, and I had to go and hide out in the bathroom many times during the day because I just could not face the ringing telephone, thinking that if somebody called me, I would be incompetent to deal with them at a professional level. And it was nothing but fear, and it came from depression, and I believe the depression was caused by fear. So that was kind of an extreme thing, but I would have panic attacks, and that's something else that fear can cause, and they're no fun. I mean, Kat alluded to panic attacks earlier, and it's so important to focus on your breathing and to practice mindfulness to let go of panic attacks. I mean, they're horrible things, and I liked what you were saying about, you were talking about using your imagination, weren't you, Kat?
Yeah, absolutely. Use your imagination in your fear response for the worst thing that will happen. So why not use your imagination and flip it?
Right.
And use it for something that feels good.
Yep. I agree. And I think that it's also important, I was reading this and it makes sense to me in terms of my past experience with fear, and that's to learn a little bit more about your fear, because a lot of times they're irrational, and that probably doesn't stem, it's my belief, that doesn't stem from anything that happened in this lifetime. It's a carryover from another lifetime. What do you think, Kat?
I think you'd have to take that on case by case.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, if you're not dealing with your issues that you carry over from another lifetime, what are you doing?
Right.
You know,
right.
Because you've got your own lifetime's worth of issues to deal with too. You know,
things that
will develop this lifetime.
Right.
So there's only so much that can be carried over. You carry over a lot of good from the lifetimes too. You know, like memories about how to do things, which are called talents. And you have a lot of gifts and talents. That's all the stuff you've done multiple times before, and you got really good at it. And you bring that through as well. So, you know, you bring a lot through. It's just like you have a lot of knowledge now just from this lifetime.
Right.
It's lifetimes and lifetimes. So I don't know how much it would be. I think you'd have to really take it on case by case.
Well, yeah.
And sometimes it could be a really something that didn't seem very big to anyone else in a person's childhood, and that's ended up being the big fear blocker.
I think you made a great point there, and there are a lot of things that are buried in our subconscious for whatever reason. Maybe things that we were unable to wrap our minds around as children and still can as adults, and that can cause irrational fears, past traumas, abuse, stuff like that, that in our present may be triggered and invite a fear response. But, you know, the subconscious is a real can of worms, and it can cause a lot of dysfunction in our present, and that's why I think it takes a lot of courage to dig and to dig deep and recover from
whatever. I think also
whatever.
You've got to ask yourself, is this truly my fear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like the fear of spiders, is that truly your fear, or is that what someone told you to feel when you were a little kid?
Good point.
And what are you going to do? You're like a million times bigger than that spider. It does have venom, but you've got a dirty, great big shoe on. You could just squash it. So, you know, you've each got your defense mechanisms. So why do you truly fear the spider when you're weaponed up too in the game of life? There's no need to fear the spider. Respect the spider for who it is and how it does its job in the ecosystem. But there's so many people that are walking around with fears that have nothing to do with their lives. They're really, honestly not real. But other people tell them to have those fears. fear is a good way to control people. So I'd be very careful to buy into fear. Think for yourself, and often that's one of the things that you need to do is ask yourself, is this truly my fear?
What about fear of the unknown?
You know, I think that because it's the unknown and because we have instincts to survive, we immediately brace ourselves for an attack. And when you think about being in the cave dweller, or even living in little villages where there's a lot of wild animals and they want to eat you, going and looking out on a plain on new moon, you don't know what's out there. It's the absolute unknown. You could walk out there for miles and nothing could happen to you, or you could be taken down by a lioness. So you have a natural recoil to protect yourself when it comes to the unknown. And that's why if you are stepping out in the right direction of your life, that's why I think why it gets a little bit anxious, a little bit scary, because there is the unknown. If I go this direction, will I make enough money to make a living? Or will it just end up that I have to go and work for someone else? Or if I go this direction, will I think I'm good at it, or will I end up not succeeding and being crap at this thing that I'm trying? You know, you have lots of that sort of thing with the unknown. But, you know, like if you're about to bungee jump, there's a fear of the unknown. How are you going to end up on the other side? Are you going to end up with a few bruises or no problem at all? Or are you going to end up snapping your neck? I mean, that's a fear of the unknown right before you do something like that. Because the body says, I'm not jumping there. Jumping there means I'll die. So you've got to look at the unknown practically, and I think this is the big thing with overcoming fear, David, don't you think? It's that you absolutely have to be pragmatic. You've just got to put those emotions aside for a minute and unpack it.
I agree. And, of course, it's my feeling that everything starts at a thought level, and that triggers the feelings. And so I think it's important to monitor your thoughts and take a look at any beliefs that you have that are limiting yourself. And, you know, these things can create lifelong dysfunction if they're not dealt with. What are some of the ways that you would suggest using to overcome fear, Kat?
Well, as I said, that exercise that I did when I was fearing the telephone,
right,
that was a good one.
Right.
I through that period of agoraphobia, I became afraid to go into crowded places. I still feel overwhelmed by crowds, but I've become to understand that that's part of my personality. So that there's another thing is that you need to know yourself.
Yes.
Now, I'm a very sensitive, energetically sensitive person. Put me in a crowd, I'm starting to feel the energies of everybody around me. That drains me.
Yeah.
And so I don't like being in crowds. So once I understood that, then I didn't have to fear being in crowds. Instead, I had to psych myself into going into one if I knew I had to. And so that was a different thing. I was empowering myself and getting myself into the mindset of coping. So as we've been talking about too, unpacking it, another thing that I had to do to get through my agoraphobia is my psychologist had me imagine the whole scene. Like I wasn't there. I was in her office. And I just sit and imagine myself. My agoraphobia began to extend to going into elevators. And so one of the things I had to do was imagine myself going up to an elevator, waiting, getting in, going for a ride, and getting out. And I just had to keep doing that until I stopped feeling like I was going to be alone in the elevator with someone who might try and hurt me. So that was empowering, because it did mean that I could just put that out of my mind. After a little while, I've trained my mind in thinking elevator rides are 99.99999% safe. No, and I trained my mind into feeling that. And then that actually meant that when I did get into an elevator and there was a sketchy person, I was, rather than being immediately afraid and therefore in the victim place, and if that sketchy person wanted to look at me like they wanted to hurt me, they would have more of a chance of doing that. I then became empowered, so when I went in there and I saw that sketchy person, I could put my shackles up and very energetically let them know I'm not someone to be effed with. So, and I have to say, going to karate and learning self-defense helped with that feeling too, just to, and going and walking in crowds, just that feeling that I know how to be in control of myself, I know who I am. And if something that I don't like does happen, I have the ability to think clearly and quietly and in a systematic way. Because I think that one of the problems with fear is that it can send you into that panic where your brains become scrambled eggs. And by teaching yourself empowerment skills, mental, emotional, and physical empowerment skills, you begin to have an answer every time something's thrown at you, and you feel more centered and more grounded. Does that make sense, David?
It does, and I can relate to so much of what you were saying when you were talking about crowds. I think it is so important to come to know who you are and recognize that there's nothing that can harm you unless you allow it in, when it comes to fear, unless it's something like a shark coming at you, and then it may be a very real fear. But so many of our fears are baseless, simply because we don't know who we are and we don't recognize that we can control our destinies. That's a very disempowering thing. Let me ask you another question, Kat. Do you think it's possible to become addicted to fear?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can get addicted to any kind of feeling or emotion. The best one is happiness, or that feeling of just being content. That's the one you want. You want to be addicted to that, so you keep going back to that. That's the feeling of satisfaction and contentment, contentedness. But fear elicits a certain chemical response, which the body then gets used to and then begins to crave. And so the body can get into a routine with having certain survival mode feelings all the time. And cortisol and adrenaline and those hormonal responses, that chemical hit you get from it, absolutely. And then especially if you're always in fear, and then you get attention because you're in fear, and because you're getting attention because you're in fear, you're then getting more goodies, you can end up, being a complete mess. And constantly thinking that way, and not even realize you are addicted.
Well, that was my sense about it too. I was reading about how when we're in scary or thrilling situations, and you talked about the chemical response, our brains do release dopamine, and that's a chemical that can act as a reward. And a lot of people get real high tight about those things, but that's slightly different than I think what we've been talking about. And there are some physical things that we can do to reduce anxiety connected to fear. And exercise is one thing, avoiding things like alcohol, smoking, and coughing, making sure that you get adequate sleep, and meditating. We've talked about meditation, the importance of that on so many different occasions with regard to different things. Eating well, practicing deep breathing, these are all things that we can do to help ourselves reduce anxiety that's caused by fear. And I should let you know, Kat, we do have another caller in the studio. I don't know if they would like to speak tonight or make a comment, but let's go to the phone lines for a moment. Hi, area code 201. What's your first name, please?
Hi. My name is Jackie.
Jackie, hi there. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. Is there anything you'd comment on or reflect on?
Well, I just know that I went through some major periods where I was dealing with fear. And, I mean, it wasn't intentional. It just was happening. I think the nature of my job, my role, my position created a lot of anxiety, and it started to manifest itself, you know, in my health. I think I'm doing a lot better with it now, maybe because I'm not actually working in the same physical building where I normally work. To be honest with you, the social distance has helped me in that area, because I'm actually working from home right now. I think society right now, the expectations for most people in their workplace is one that's built around the whole aspect of fear, whether it's being without a paycheck or security. And I know that it's very debilitating. So, you know, I'm really honestly just now beginning to learn how important mindfulness is and meditating and just taking a deep breath once in a while, because we all need it.
That's for sure.
We all need it. Anxiety is real. You don't recognize it until it has reached a point where it starts to like really affect you emotionally and physically. You know, I'm like everyone else. I'm trying to learn how to handle it. I'm very empathic too. So I'm a person who could walk in a room and I could just like sense so many different things, and it took me a long time to even understand that, you know, why was I getting these like overwhelming feelings. And I'm not a person who as a child was like, I fought. I fought back anytime I felt threatened, but as I got older, I couldn't fight back, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
As a child, it was easier for me to fight back if I felt threatened. But as an adult, at work, you couldn't, because then you would be seen as unprofessional. But what I have learned is that a lot of people, especially in management, they use fear to control. And everything I learned about management, like in school or whatever, that's like the worst thing that you're supposed to be doing. Anyway, if you're a good manager, you shouldn't have to use fear. But that's pretty much the job market nowadays. Everything is fear-based. And I think that's why so many people are either ill or just had it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Jackie. You really provided some valuable contributions to the show, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kat, is there anything you'd like to reflect on that Jackie just said?
Well, I'm very sad to hear that the job market where she's living is fear-based. That's not good. Because between.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. And I'm working from home now, and a couple of times I caught myself even on my computer, like, scrambling around my house. And I had to stop myself and say, wait a second. I'm home. I didn't create this pandemic, and what I can't control, I can't control. Even though I may get a million and one emails and CC to this person and that person, sometimes I literally have to look at the email and laugh and say, I refuse to let an email make me panic. This is ridiculous. Like, I literally had to talk to my computer one day and say, not today. This is insane.
Thank you. I hear you. Well, Jackie, thank you. That's a bit of comic relief, if you will, but it's not funny.
That's the environment. That's the environment right now. Most people, especially if you're in the public sector, that's what you're working under, and it makes no sense. Everything is fear-based.
Right. Well, Kat, let me turn it back to you again. What were you saying?
We'll have to find a thread.
That's all right.
To go on.
That's all right.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't actually understand a lot of what she was saying, so it didn't come through in my speakers very well. So I don't know what she just said, but I hope that the listeners do know.
Yeah, it was a little distorted. I caught the drift of it. We only have 13 minutes left. Let's see if Eleanor has anything else she'd like to say. Then, Kat, if you have any further reflections, we'll do that and then go into meditation. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Eleanor, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yes, something very quickly. I know where my greatest fear comes from, that's that my parents, my birth parents, would kill each other in their fighting and arguing. So I am 69 years old, not 9 years old, and my worst fear is not going to happen, and I have to realize that. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a very empowering statement, Eleanor. I'm very happy to hear you say that. It's a good reminder to me that I'm not a little child anymore. Yeah, I have a little child that lives inside of me, as we all do, but I can be my child's best friend, and I can assure it, as I assure myself, that I am an adult now and that I don't need to be controlled by my fears anymore. They're more often than not, they're imaginary, and I can overcome my fear. So thank you for that affirming statement. Kat, anything else you want to share?
I think that's perfect, actually. So I'll give you another quote, if that's okay, from Henry Ford.
Please do.
One of the greatest discoveries a man makes, one of his greatest surprises, is to find that he can do what he was afraid he couldn't do.
I like that.
One of the greatest discoveries a man makes, one of his greatest surprises, is to find he can do what he was afraid he couldn't do. So if you've got a pathway in your life that's exciting and a little bit scary all at once, then unpack those fears, be pragmatic about them, because all they are blocks to your exciting path. And you can do what you're afraid you can't do. You can do it. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely. Well, now for all of the listeners and callers, Kat is going to move us into meditation time before we close.
Okay, so let's get comfortable in our chair or lay down, and wiggle your hips and your toes and your knees and your face and your arms, and just get the last little wriggles out. And then just breathe really slowly. Take a deep breath in, nice and long. And release in a very slow breath. And do that again. In, slow. Out, slow. In, slow. Out, slow. Now be. Just be. Thoughts are going to well up in your head. Imagine them all lining up like little words, but they're word people. So each word has arms and legs, and it's all the letters stacked horizontally, vertically. All the words stacked vertically. And all these little word people are going to get on a ship. And so all these fears that we have are word people. And they're getting on a ship. And every time you're just being, those words appear and they get on the ship. And the ship is about to sail away to the other side of the world. And you can be released. They'll never come back. They're off to live their own life somewhere else. More thoughts are welling up in your head about what's for dinner, who said this, or how that's going to happen. And just let them get on the ship. You might feel that ship three times. Let it happen. Starting to feel emptier now, emptier of all the words that are blocking you, all the doubts, all the fears. They're just words that walk onto a ship. They have nothing. They have no power over you. They're just words. And I'd like you to take another deep breath in. And when you let the breath out, blow it hard and set the ship away. Its sails are up and it's ready to catch the wind to go on the other side of the world. Let's go. Send them on their way. Do it again. And a third time. And that breath has enlivened you. Made you feel invigorated. The ship is gone. You cannot see it. The words are gone. The fears and doubts are gone. There is only release and relief and possibility. And now as you be, as you're sitting and being, let the word of the exciting future rise up to you. Let the words that tell you what to do next to create your exciting future rise up to you. Let the words of how to make that happen, what to do and how to make it happen, the do and the how, let them rise up. And in the how is the unknown. Feel secure that that's the part the universe will help you with. Just know that it will all work out. And as these words rise up, turn them into something that you love to look at. Maybe it's a majestic horse. Maybe it's a beautiful piece of furniture. Maybe it's a damn good sandwich. Turn those words of the bright future, the exciting future, and the do and the how, turn them into something you love to look at. And place those something into the prominent display corner of your house, the place that you love to look at, the things that you love to look at. And now whenever you go there, you will see those great words and you will begin to build that fantastic future. Your fears are nowhere to be seen. Only the security of knowing the universe will meet you halfway is there instead. And in your travels over the coming days and weeks, maybe you can find the objects that represented those positive words, and you can display them in your house to help you to manifest your dreams to come true. And when you're ready, with that positive intention, open your eyes.
I am. I was just giving people a moment to open their eyes.
you might have gone to sleep.
No, it was very relaxing, though. Thank you. Thank you, as always. You've got a very soothing voice, and your meditations are very, very well received. And so I thank you. Let's remind people to visit our Facebook page. Would you like to tell them about it, Kat?
Oh, yes. Please come and join us over on Facebook at The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And if you have any suggestions for topics for our radio show, please send them to us by a private message or just in the comment section below the latest broadcast. You'll see there that we've got today's broadcast has been plugged, and you can put your comment down below. And also remember that throughout the show, you can join in by commenting underneath the current show on Facebook. So just get on to The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Press like and tell your friends, and please get involved. We love it when people get involved.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And believe it or not, we're finishing on time tonight.
Oh, wow.
And thanks to Eleanor for joining us tonight. It's always a joy to have you, Eleanor. And I wish you well, and wish all of you well. Good day, good evening, and please join us again next week. And as Kat said, if you have a suggestion, we love topic suggestions from listeners and callers. So with that said, I'm going to say good night.
Good night, everyone.